We are Fantasy TE. Welcome back. My name is Nick Masick. We also have Lonnie Cox and Vital DeJuiced. Welcome back, guys. Good to see you. All right. We got a fun show today. We're going to talk about some historic, some comebacks, some records, some bad calls, just wild finishes across the board in the NFL. We got some players who joined some very elite company or might do so soon. We're going to talk about running quarterbacks versus not so much running quarterbacks and how we're seeing that play out in this season. A really funny thing that happened to Tom Brady and last week, not most recent in his most recent game. We're going to play over under. But first, why your team sucks with Lonnie Cox.
Hello, everybody. God, am I tempted to talk about the Dallas Cowboys today. 40 points, Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, nobody can snatch victory out of the hands of defeat like the Dallas Cowboys, or defeat out of the hands of victory like the Dallas Cowboys can. But God damn, was that a hard game to watch. Today, we're going to go for, I think, an easy prey. We're going to head down to Tampa Bay and talk about our Buccaneers. Tom Brady, I don't know if we've talked about them yet this year.
Did you pick them last week, Vital? I forget. Who did you talk about?
I think I did too. That's still, I'm just surprised at who he picked them instead of like.
Vital filled in for you last week, but go ahead. Go right ahead. Pile on by all means.
Instead of who were you going to pick?
Who, me? No,
what do you mean?
No, don't go the Miami Dolphins? Is that who you thought I was going to go to?
No, I thought you were going to pick Matt Ryan. Like, another one. That's history.
Well, We already did the Colts a couple times this year.
I know. There's got to be chills down his spine.
Yeah, he's got to be thinking that he's a little bit of a jinx. But Tom Brady, we're going to talk about the thing that we all are saying, you should have retired. Aaron Rodgers, you should have retired. But Tom Brady, you just looked off. It's not happening. Yesterday, I mean, you put up a great stat line, 312 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but your running game is gone. You've got no offensive line. Your defense is a shell of what it once was. I mean, Russell Gage is doing good things for you. Chris Godwin's doing good things for you, but it's just not there anymore. The spark seems kind of gone. I think we're looking at the end of Tom Brady's career. Should have retired maybe 2 years ago. But last year, when we watched them play, we were like, okay, we get it. We get sticking around. You're still competitive. You're still in the hunt. This year, it's just kind of like, all right. It's kind of like watching Brett Favre for the Jets. You know, it's like, let's send this home. Now, when Brett Favre went to the Vikings, he was very good. And the Vikings were very good. But I don't know. Does Tom Brady stick around? Is Tom Brady going to 49ers next year? Is Tom Brady going to Dallas? Is Tom Brady going somewhere else, or is this it? We don't know, but it's just kind of a little sad to watch. And that's why your team sucks.
we did talk about this last week, and you're right, it is hard to watch those Bucks, but they're probably going to be in the playoffs, man. that's the reality. And yeah, they didn't look great. But they also kind of had a shot against a team that really teams weren't giving them much of a shot against in the Bengals, a team that people are pretty high on. In a losing effort, I'd say they actually may have made some strides forward. I don't know if I would have picked them for why your team sucks, because they're starting to look a little bit dangerous. You know, like people, they got up 17-0 on the Bengals. That was a little bit eye-opening. Nobody really expected that. They didn't finish the job, but I think a couple teams took notice and they were like, shit, what if they do figure it out in the next couple weeks? What if something happens where that offensive line clicks and all of a sudden we got Brady, playoff Brady, you know, who's a different animal. We all know that.
That's true.
You're right. It does kind of remind me a little bit of Brett Favre with the Jets. But he also almost won the MVP last year. So let's not say he should have retired 2 years ago, because last year he put up MVP caliber numbers. I think we were bringing this up. We talked about our wish list. I brought up my wish list for offseason moves. I said Brady to the Niners. I would love to see that happen. And yeah, that would look like Brett Favre going to the Vikings. They would probably be in contention to compete for a Super Bowl. And what a way to go out, especially with his hometown team. I also said Aaron Rodgers to the Jets and Geno Smith to the Jets. What was the other one? Matt Stafford back to the Lions. That was my other one.
The disrespect to the GOAT.
That would be sick though, dude. To have Stafford go back to the Lions and then win a Super Bowl with them. That would just be ridiculous. Just put a, you know, but anyway, yeah. Bucks, we'll see. They might play the Cowboys week one. How'd you like to see that matchup? I mean, the Cowboys, you talked about, you're lamenting their loss. I don't think that was that bad of a loss. I mean, I know it didn't look great. It didn't feel great from the Cowboys' perspective. I think
You're clenching the playoffs. You got to show up to those fucking games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. They clinched it in classic Cowboys fashion, though, by the Giants winning. They backed into the playoffs, so that was nice. But not really.
Oh, wait, so the Cowboys are in the playoffs now?
Yeah, because the Giants won last night. It's the worst way to clinch ever. God,
I hate the Cowboys so much.
I think the Jaguars are really pretty legit, though. I think they're going to be.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be. I want to say they're going to be a top five AFC team next season with the addition of Calvin Ridley. Barring some unforeseen circumstances, I think they're going to be really tough to beat. They are right now. They're tough to beat right now. And I think they're going to be better next year. Second year with Trevor Lawrence in, what's his name? System. Doug Peterson, right? System. That team's just going to be really, they're getting harder and harder to beat. And I think they're going to be tough to beat. They might make the playoffs. We talked about that already. They're now 6-8. They're only one game back from Tennessee, and they play Tennessee at the end of the season. So that very well could be a play-in game for a division winner and a play-out game for whoever loses. So that's I wouldn't hit the panic button on the Cowboys yet. You know, a lot of teams struggled yesterday against teams that are far inferior to the Jaguars specifically.
Well, I think I'm not hitting the panic button necessarily, but it's just like, you know, here is my reasons for panicking. And this goes, I don't want to be a fucking dick about this, but it goes a little bit deeper than just being a fan, right? Like if I'm a coach, there are moments where you need to win the fucking game. You know what I mean? Like there are moments where you need to march down the fucking field and win the game. Like Dak Prescott's throw at the end of the game was it his fault? Not necessarily. It bounced off Noah Brown. Yeah. Rashid Jenkins took it back for a touchdown. Is it 100% his fault? No. But is he putting his position and team in places to win the game? Like, oh man, you know.
Oh, I'm with you, man. I'm selling Dak Prescott for sure, all the way. I'm not buying him.
Like, you know, he's thrown the most interceptions in the league since week 7 when he's come back. You know, he's got CeeDee Lamb. He's got elite wide receiver talent, but not really showing it. I mean, you've got the best defense the Dallas Cowboys have arguably had since they won the Super Bowl. And yeah, like, did they make the Colts look stupid last week? They did. Or 2 weeks ago? Yes. But they fucking barely beat the Houston Texans. Now, here's the thing. This is the NFL, right? Like, not every week is going to be a pretty game. You got to win the ugly games if you're going to win a Super Bowl. Like, not every game you're going to come up against bad teams that are going to play very, very well against you. Right. And this is Dallas, man. Like, everyone comes to play Dallas. Like, nobody thinks that this is a bye week for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody kind of shows up to play Dallas. Nobody plays them soft.
Sure. Regardless of how good they are, they get everybody's best game. Like, you know, that's true. That's a good point, because they are the Cowboys. Everybody wants to beat the Cowboys. It's like a notch in your belt. I'll say this about the Texans game, though. The Texans played them tough. The Texans played the Chiefs tough this week. So that makes that Texans game look a lot better on as far as the Cowboys go. They took the Chiefs to overtime. They had a legit chance at beating the Chiefs.
And just barely won because of what, an interception, a fumble? What was it?
It was a turnover, but you know, like, it still could have gone either way at that point when they turned the ball over, and that gave it to the Chiefs. But it was in jeopardy for sure. The Texans have played some tough games against some really good teams this year. So again, and I think the Jags are a better team than the Texans without a doubt. You know, you lost a tough one against a good team, good football team. But yeah, come playoff time, are they going to be ready to win the close ones? Are they going to be able to make the plays at the end when they need to? You're right, too. They have all the components if Dak plays well.
Here's the thing, right? Here is what I'm happy about if I'm a coach or if I am a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, is that the Cowboys have been trending up at the right time of the season. Yeah. They're mostly healthy. The defense is playing sharp. The offensive line is playing sharp. We just got back Tyron Smith.
Huge.
You just got, you know, you've got Tony Pollard. You've got Ezekiel Elliott. Like, on paper, that team is built for the playoffs. Strong sure. defense, strong offensive line, and strong running game. Like, that's a team that is built for a playoff run. Are they going to do it? Are they going to Dallas Cowboys it? Probably. But I want to see.
I don't know if I put them in the top half of the NFC playoff picture. I guess I barely probably do, but right now.
Next week is a big game, right? Because you got a full strength Dallas Cowboys.
I guess
Jalen Hurts might be out.
He's iffy.
You've got, yeah, he sprained his shoulder right now. It's looking like he won't play, but it's a big game for Dallas.
It is for sure. I'm going to put that on the over under Dallas. we're going to have to talk about that later. Right now teams that I would pick over the Cowboys in the playoffs, potentially. I like the 49ers better than them. I like the Eagles more than them. And if they get in, I like the Lions more than them. The Lions, dude, the Lions look good. Did you guys catch that Jets game? That Jets game almost felt like a playoff game. Both those teams are playing really good, and they both had a lot to play for. Mm-hmm. Speaking of teams not like that are starting to get it done when they need to, the Lions closed the deal in a tough game against a really good defense. How are you feeling about the Lions getting into the playoffs? We talked a little bit about this last. We've been talking about it for weeks now. They're 7-7. They are nipping at the heels of Washington, who just lost to the Giants, which we'll talk about that too. Do you think are we thinking the Lions are getting in the playoffs? And if they do, how worried about them are you, Lonnie? You might see them. You probably won't though in the first round.
No, first round would probably be the low end, right? Or no, the high end, because we're a fifth seed, I think, right?
Yeah. You're probably gonna see Tampa in the first round. If you get past them, assuming you get past them, you might get the Lions, but the Lions would probably, if the Lions get in, they'll probably see Minnesota. And if they beat Minnesota again, they would probably see the Eagles because they'd be like a 6 or a 7 seed, I'm assuming. But they could still catch the Giants. They could slide up into that 6 seed potentially.
Yeah, right now we're projected to play Tampa.
Yeah. I mean, if the Cowboys go on an epic slide and the Lions run the table, they could overtake you potentially even for that 5th seed. So do you think the Lions make the playoffs, Lonnie? And if they do, are you worried about them if you have to see them? They're 7-7. Just on it. Well, Vital, what do you think? I know we talked about this recently, but after seeing them again, 7-7 Lions.
Yeah, I told you what I think. I think they're for real. They got a chip on their shoulders. Everyone plays so hard at that team, dude.
I know. But I love
I'm
that.
All about it.
Yeah.
I've been told you golf's my man, so I can't I can't wait to bring them another team to the goddamn Super Bowl. Only to
lose and lose another Super Bowl. Yeah. I actually, before the game yesterday, I was looking just curious. I was like, I wonder what the Lions odds are for winning the Super Bowl. It was 8,000 to 1 before the Jets game. I put $10 on it. The Lions, I'm sure the odds are gonna be like probably dropped dramatically after that game because now they're much closer. So if I win, I'll win like $800 if the Lions win the Super Bowl now. how are you feeling about those Lions, Lonnie, against your Cowboys?
I mean, listen, I think the Lions-Cowboys would be a good game, but I think ultimately the Cowboys are just a little bit more talented. And, you know, grit will get you far. I'm looking at the 07 Giants and the 2010 Giants. Like, grit can get you far. I just don't know how far it can go against the Cowboys. Like,
I'm going to say this, man. I think the Lions receiving core is better than the Cowboys.
I think it might be too.
Now they got Jameson Williams back in the fold, like playing. I think I take the Lions wide receivers over the Cowboys wide receivers. The top four. You give me the top four from each team, I'll take the Lions.
And their tight ends. Just a receiving core. I think that you include the tight end better.
I think you got an edge at tight end. And I think running back even is even, if not edge to the Lions. I give them the edge at every possible position except defense. That's the only edge.
Except Tony Pollard. I might disagree with you. They are Tony Pollard. But everything else, yeah, for sure. Swift, the RB2, yeah.
I would say that CeeDee Lamb is arguably the best receiver of any of them on both teams.
He's collectively, the Lions are way, they have talent spread out a lot.
They're basically because they have a true number one in Amon-Ra and maybe another number one in Jameson Williams. And then you got two number twos with DJ Shark and Reynolds. So I'll take those lines. I'll take the quarterback. I'll take everything except for the defense and even the defense is playing tougher. So I don't know.
That might be a better game than you think, Lottie.
No, I think it'd be a great game, but I think the Cowboys eke it out.
All right. Hopefully we see it. I just want to see the Lions in the playoffs. That's all I really want. That's what I want for Christmas. We had some wild finishes, dude. All right. How about the Vikings comeback? Historic comeback. 33. What?
Crazy.
I don't want to talk about it right now.
Why?
Talk about it tomorrow.
I mean, there was a lot of weird stuff that happened though. Like Jonathan Taylor went out, which is like, that really is a huge blow to a team with a lead that, you know, like, because you're going to run the ball with your stud running back and to try to burn clock, that probably killed him more than anything. Turnovers were bad. It was some defensive plays. And then, yeah, the Vikings just caught fire towards the end. So ugly though. I thought it was going to end. I almost thought it was going to end in a tie. It was very close, which would have been the most anticlimactic thing possible to have happen, would be that historic comeback and then it ends in a tie. But it ended up being for the Vikings. There were a couple other wild finishes. How about the Raiders? Did you guys see that game end?
Crazy. Yeah, that was fantastic, dude.
What were the Patriots thinking? How mad is Belichick today?
Oh, furious. I'm surprised these guys aren't already released.
You can't cut. I mean, it's your starting running back and your starting quarterback. You can't fucking drop those guys. They're the ones who made the mistake, right?
Well, this is a QB's fault, was it? He didn't throw a lateral.
No, he did. Didn't Mac Jones throw it? Who threw it?
No. It was the receivers, dude. I mean, you know Mac Jones threw it, but the ball's dead. Just go ahead and go down.
Mac Jones, I think,
just started doing laterals.
I think Mac Jones
got mushed at the end.
Did he? I thought he threw one of the laterals because there were two, and then the third lateral went. So
he was just a victim of the play.
I don't know, man. He was participating. It was first, it was Ramondre Stevenson. You just go down. You go down. If you're not going to make it, you go down. And he threw it back, I think, to Mac Jones. And then Mac Jones threw it back to whoever threw it to Chandler Jones, I think. Anyway.
Well, then how did Mac Jones end up getting bushed?
Getting clobbered? I don't know. That's a good question. It was surprising and confusing the whole way across the board. I do like that it was against Josh McDaniel. It had a very poetic feel to it. And Chandler Jones, who was the former, you know, Patriot. I think he won a Super Bowl with Belichick running it. It was the wildest thing. I've never seen anything like it.
I saw a picture the last two lateral walk-offs have been against the Pats. The Dolphins are the last one. Oh, yeah, man. That miracle.
Oh, the Dolphins. Yeah, the Dolphins one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this was different.
They put Gronk in on defense.
Yeah, this is on defense. This is unprecedented. It kind of puts the Raiders back in things, but I don't see them. I don't think they're going to catch the Chargers. Chargers got a huge win. That was really big for them against the Titans. Chargers. And who's sitting now there at 8-6? The Chargers and who's the other team? It's not the Jets. Who's that the other? Oh, the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins and the Chargers are at the bottom 6-7 seed. Dolphins took a loss. That was a tough loss.
So you can't win when the refs don't want you to. I don't know what to tell you.
You're blaming that one on the refs. I don't know. Josh Allen made a great run in the snow. in Buffalo.
A little bit. And then we try to help him not fall in the snow. And all of a sudden, this little home call out of nowhere, roughing the patch. I'm like, get out of here, man.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't the best. But you kind of felt like the Bills were going to win that one anyway.
Because they were pushing them.
It was a good game. It was a great game.
It was a fantastic shootout. It was, man. Even Tua had some good throws too. That Tyreek Hill dot right there in the end zone. It was a good game.
It was good. It looked really good. Josh Allen said after the game, I think we're gonna see them again. And that looks like it's fair. You know,
Dolphins. I couldn't watch it. It was only on NFL Network.
Yeah, dude.
I love being at work. I got paid to watch it.
That's the best. I was watching on my phone, but yeah, it was a wild finish. It wasn't as snowy the whole way through. I think that the Dolphins are more built to win in the snow this year than they ever have been, which is good because they're probably going to have to. Come playoff time if they're going to go a long distance. But, dude, the Mike McDaniel running scheme, Raheem Mostert had a really big game. Like, all the
his 100 yards in one quarter.
Yeah, I mean, they are actually built to win in the snow. Even their receivers and their passing game, a lot of it is predicated on short slants and run after the catch. And all of that favors a team when you're playing in bad weather. So it's weird to say it, but watching that game and watching the Dolphins, I actually think they're ready. They're primed for a snowy run. They could go up to Buffalo. I believe in them going into Buffalo in a snowy game and actually pulling out a victory in the playoffs. So it was not totally disheartening. How about the bad calls? Speaking of bad calls, did you watch the end of the Washington and Giants game last night?
Another missed pass.
I saw that.
Loved it, dude.
Dude, that was so bad. Like, they were, even when the announcers, usually they play a little bit politic with the NFL and the officiating and stuff. They were just trashing them. They're like, this is awful. This should not happen. They're like former league officials. Like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. I almost felt like they saw the score and they saw what Washington was doing. They were like, we can't have them tie again. No, no, no. It very well could have been. It was like, oh no, are we gonna have another 20-20 tie 2 weeks later? Same two teams. It very well could have ended that way, the way those teams were playing. But big blow to Washington. Kind of sucks. I feel bad for the Commanders. Now they got to go play the 49ers next week. And if they lose to the 49ers, that could be the nail in the coffin, you know, that sinks them below the surging Lions. I think Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff, you got the Lions and the Jags, two teams we'll be talking about kind of on the bubble. I think those two guys are top 10 fantasy quarterbacks next year for sure. They're going to be, I mean, what round are you thinking about Trevor? They've been balling the last few weeks. The receiving cores are both nasty. The Lions got Jameson Williams back. The Jaguars are going to get Calvin Ridley next year. How high are you thinking about taking those guys in fantasy drafts next year, Jared, if assuming the teams don't shake up too much?
I honestly wouldn't reach higher than the fifth.
No, I think fifth is, yeah, I was thinking like fifth, between the fifth and the seventh round, I think Lawrence might go earlier. Lawrence maybe in the fifth, Goff maybe in the seventh or eighth. I think they're going to be good value for fantasy quarterbacks next year,
though. Absolutely. For sure, dude. They're going to pop a lot of games. And I don't think they're going to have a lot of terrible games. They're good.
They're getting
better mistakes.
Yeah. Right. I think the floor with those offenses next year is going to be very high. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Where are you thinking those guys are going to be?
So basically what you're saying is, do we put Goff and Lawrence in the top end of the second tier of quarterbacks, right? The second tier of quarterbacks being mm-hmm. the guys that you don't reach for, right?
Yeah.
Like the Mahomes, the Allens, maybe one other guy in there would be.
Hurts. I think Hurts is going to be the top quarterback off the board next year.
Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert sometimes kind of flirts in that conversation as well.
I think those guys might overtake Herbert in terms of fantasy next year.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody that takes those guys over Herbert is a fool. Justin Herbert is an elite quarterback in this league, and he will be for a while if he stays healthy.
Oh, I'm not saying
that, but I don't think the numbers support that. I think Hurts as well. I think Hurts rushed in my league last year
because of the running. I would say absolutely, but Justin Herbert is the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 4,000 yards in his first three seasons. That's better than Mahomes. That's better than Peyton Manning.
You're a fool if you take Hurts. If you don't take Hurts, I think.
Correct. But what I'm saying is we're talking about, so, but I'm saying, I think Jalen Hurts is in the discussion of the guys that you reach for, right? A second round quarterback.
Oh, for sure, dude. He's a,
so
he's going to be
Herbert, a second round. I'm saying Herbert kind of flirts between that line of the first because he doesn't have the running element and he's just not the like 55 touchdown guy a year yet. You don't really consider him there, but if you're talking about Goff and Lawrence in the second category, like, yes, I said they belong in that second category, but am I going to take a Trevor Lawrence over a Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert? Probably not.
Oh, I am.
I would take one of two. Yeah.
I would take
him over Herbert.
I would definitely take him over Herbert too, for sure. And let me just throw some. So, Justin Fields, we're talking about records being broken. Justin Fields joined the 1,000-yard rushing quarterback club yesterday. He's unbelievable rushing talent, but he got dinged up again. He's missed a couple games, or he's at least missed one game already due to injury this year. And this is something we're talking about, like availability. When it comes to quarterbacks, especially in real football and in fantasy football, their availability has to matter. And the debate has been going for a long time. Lamar still hasn't gotten paid because of his availability. They're concerned about his availability. I'm going to read some of the top rushing quarterbacks, some of the highest drafted fantasy quarterbacks this year who are now hurt and may or may not be playing or are out. You got Justin Fields. You got Lamar Jackson. Jalen Hurts has now got a shoulder injury. And Kyler Murray, done for the season. All right. If you had Kyler Murray as your fantasy quarterback, you are really in trouble. Guys who are healthy, who were not necessarily drafted as high as those guys, we got who are playing really well and have been most of the season. Trevor Lawrence, you got Joe Burrow, you got Jared Goff in that conversation. These are guys who are available because they're not putting themselves at risk running the football. So is that going to play into your fantasy draft strategy next year at all when you start to consider that kind of stuff?
The names that I know, I don't know, because I don't know. These guys can come and go. They could be a fluke, some aberrations.
I mean, Burrow, Lawrence, Goff, I think they're going to be very consistent next year.
I think most of them will be consistent, except for, I don't know, Goff. I joke about Goff being the GOAT, but I don't, sometimes. I still watch him play. Sometimes he makes some decisions.
He'll make some bad decisions, but you know what? If they go down, that just means he's going to have to throw it more. From a fantasy perspective, I think Goff's going to be great. Fair enough. I'm not saying he's an MVP or a Hall of Famer, but I think he's going to be great fantasy-wise. What do you think, Lonnie?
Yeah, here's just to reiterate kind of what I was saying earlier. I've done a little bit of research. Anyone want to guess who the number one quarterback is in terms of yards in the NFL this year?
Herbert? Is it Herbert?
It's Pat Mahomes.
Mahomes, okay.
Number two. Anyone want to guess who number two is?
Tua.
Justin Herbert.
Wow.
Dang. It would have been two if he wasn't out those 3 days.
So Justin Herbert has 4,000 yards. He has a 67.5% completion percentage, which is number five.
What are the yards per game? I want to get a more accurate. What are
yards per game? Okay. Yeah. His yards per game is 287.1, which makes him number two in the NFL behind Pat Mahomes.
Listen.
Now, the only thing he has not done a ton of is thrown touchdowns. He only has 21. This year, which is 12th in the NFL, but he was without his two best receivers for a good chunk of the league.
And that is one of my main fantasy concerns. Listen, if we're talking about quarterbacks who I'm drafting as a general manager for a NFL football team, yes, I'm taking Herbert probably top two or three. I picked him to win the MVP this year. And had his receivers been healthy, that might have very well been a decent pick. I'm a believer in Herbert. As a player, I think he's awesome. He's incredible. He's a phenomenal talent. But his receiver availability with the Chargers is one of the issues when it comes to fantasy production. Whereas you look at that's what we're talking about with the Lions and the Jags, like their receiving cores. And also their suspect defenses really help fantasy value for their quarterbacks too, man. Like they're going to be in more shootouts. They're going to be playing catch up potentially because their defenses are not great. It's a recipe for fantasy magic. So that's why I like those guys. I'm talking about from a fantasy, strictly fantasy. No doubt Herbert's incredible. He might win MVP next year. I might pick him again next year to win MVP. I don't know. If they, especially if they get their receivers all healthy and they get right. So, but it's, I'm just curious to see if we start to see a drop off in these run heavy quarterbacks because of their availability has been so iffy this year. You know, everybody gets all excited for fantasy season. Like, I want to get the guy who's going to run for 1,000 yards. And then, you know, he's not playing for the last three games during the playoffs when you need him to. So it's just going to be interesting. I think Hurts is elite, though. Hurts is definitely going to be one of the top three next year, if not the top overall. What else we got? T.Y. to the Cowboys. Do you care about that, Lonnie, instead of Odell?
It's not instead of.
They still might. Odell.
Lonnie still has hope.
Just depth. I liked it. I thought it made sense.
I don't think he'll touch the field, to be honest.
No, it's a good depth move for them, though. You know,
if it works out, it'd be great. But I don't know. I mean, T.Y.'s been out of the league for what, 2 years now?
I thought he played last year, didn't he? Did he not play at all last year?
I don't think he played last. I thought the last year he played was with Rivers. Maybe. I don't even know if he played that year.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, I thought it was a pretty savvy move for the. It was a very unsplashy, un-Cowboys like, just like we're gonna do this, and this makes a good sense. So that's a good sign for the Cowboys, I guess. All right, this was really fun. So after the game where the Bucs got blown out by the 49ers 2 weeks ago, Trey Greenlaw, the 49ers defensive back Greenlaw, I think it's DB. Intercepted Tom Brady after the game. He went and found Tom Brady and asked him to sign the ball. Dude, this has got to be like one of the greatest signs of respect and also insult, but like simultaneously insulting him. Tom Brady, to his credit, signed the ball. he was pissed off about it, but also he was like, all right, this is kind of cool, you know, this defense, I'm going to sign your ball that you picked off, because he knows that it's probably one of the, like, that's going to go down as one of Greenlaw's greatest moments in his career, yeah, in the history of his NFL career. Like, he's going to be telling his grandkids, yeah, I picked off Tom Brady one time. Do you guys want to see the ball? He signed it for me.
That's like a fighter knocking someone out. It was like, hey, sign my glove. Like, dude, come on.
Did you like it, Lonnie?
Listen, man, I love that stuff because, you know, this is an anomaly, right? We're not going to see this again for a very long time where, like, you know, you have these guys that are these living legends that are still playing the game. Yeah. You know, like, I love Tom Brady. I love this thing where you see that Tom Brady has been playing longer than some of these guys are alive.
Yeah.
You know, I love some of that. So, I mean, right now, I mean, Vital, I'm trying to remember, like, I distinctly remember being in seventh grade watching Tom Brady win a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, I remember LeBron James. I remember walking the halls of middle school, seeing LeBron James jerseys. Like, there are these guys that have just been a huge part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just fans. These
guys are even younger than us. These athletes.
That's what I'm saying. It's like now you have these guys that are 10 years younger than us that are now starting to play in the NFL and play professional sports that are playing against these guys that are like as old as their dads, maybe even a little older than some of their fathers.
They were legends when they like could comprehend the sport already. Like
it would be like the only thing I can compare it to would be like me playing against Michael Jordan or you know, something like that. Like if Michael Jordan was still around, and
sure,
it's just awesome to see. I think the thing, did Tom Brady sign the ball? He did,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool what I love. That's the part of it that I love. Yeah. You know, he's not an asshole, he's not Charles Barkley. Like he understands his position, like he understands who he is to these people. He's not like, you know, I'm as competitive as a person can be when it's time to be competitive, but there's also a time to like turn it off in moments. Mm-hmm. And I love to see Tom Brady, like, doesn't take himself super seriously after the games. Like he'll go over, he'll shake hands, he'll sign the jersey. Like I love stuff like that. And I think it's good for the sport.
Yeah. It was really cool. And he wasn't happy about it. He was pretty pissed about losing that badly to them. But it, yeah, in that moment, like, because anybody else, if you do that to them, you're literally insulting them. Like, that's cause for a fist fight. If you do that to some other quarterback, if you're like, yo, sign my ball that I picked off, you know, like that, they might throw down with you. Tom Brady recognized, he was like, this is one of the highest compliments a player could pay me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just, it was so funny. And are we ever going to, I mean, is that ever going to happen? Is there ever going to be another quarterback where DBs can ask them to sign their ball that they picked off and they won't, not only will they not be like, fuck you, they will actually do it. Like, is that, I don't know if we'll ever even see that.
And I also think that's a little bit of a signal, like Tom Brady's, he's done.
Yeah, if feeling it.
I don't know, man. But
people were saying he was auditioning for the team. He had to make buddy with his future teammates. Like, it was all like, yeah.
That's what really. I didn't think Tom Brady was auditioning for the Niners. I thought the Niners were auditioning for Tom Brady. That's what I thought in that game.
That's because you're a Patriots fan, though.
It's because I'm a Brady.
I think the balance of power has shifted, all right?
I'm a football fan.
Niners are asking Brady to prom here.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Niners were auditioning for Tom Brady. I think they're asking him to the prom. That's what I'm saying. I think they want him because they know that he will take them to the promised land. They know that if they put him, even if he's diminished a little bit in terms of talent, like he's still one of the best in the league in terms of, and is it with his accuracy, with everything, his pocket mobility, whatever. You put him on that team, they're going to win the Super Bowl. They might win the Super Bowl anyway, but you put him on that team, they're going to be so hard to beat. So that's what I want to see it from a football standpoint. It's just like there's everything about it is he grew up as a Niners fan. It's like it's Derek Jeter hitting his 3,000th fucking hit. It's a like walk off home run or whatever the fuck it was. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those historic you want to see it sports moment things. So, and if he did win a Super Bowl with the Niners and then retired, I mean, come on, forget about it. Like that's the greatest retirement in ever. So I want to see it. All right, let's play over under. First one, we saw a bunch of teams that are on the bubble win. How many teams with winning records, because we're talking about how the Bucks are going to get in with a losing record. How many teams with a winning record are going to be left out of the playoffs this year? AFC and NFC combined. How many winning record teams will miss the playoffs? You're talking about teams like the Patriots, the Jets, the Commanders, the Seahawks, the Lions. These are all the teams that are kind of iffy. You have the Dolphins and the Chargers that are in right now at 8-6, but they could slide potentially. Also, teams could go on a run. The Jaguars could win their next three. Is that right? Did I get the math right on that? Could they finish 9-8? The Jags could finish 9-8. The Raiders could finish 9-8. Teams that are 6-8 could still finish with winning records. Yeah. I'm going to put it at 1.5. The NFC East plays against each other a few times, I think, still going down the stretch. The Giants and the Commanders are both, I think they have a few NFC East games left, although they don't play each other again.
I'll take the under, actually.
I'm also going to take the under.
You think only one team or less with a winning record misses the playoffs?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to take the over, just for the sake of argument. Let's keep track of this one. I'm going to keep this one on the thing. I'm going to look back at some of our over-unders that are relative to this year. There's no obviously score for them, but I'm just curious to see how it plays out. All right. Number of playoff wins for the Dallas Cowboys this year. We assume that since we know they're in, over-under is at 0.5. Do the Cowboys win a playoff game or not?
Okay, I'm taking the over. I'm a Cowboys fan.
He bites every time.
We're going to the Super Bowl, baby. We're winning it. No, I'll take the over. We're projected to play the Bucks. I think we handily beat the Bucks.
You can win one game this year, finally.
I think we win one game.
Vital?
I am taking the under.
I'm also taking the under because I don't think it's going to be you who plays the Bucks. I think you guys are going to get the 49ers or something like that. That's that. I don't know why. I just have that feeling. So yeah.
But right now the 49ers are the third seed.
So you could be the. Oh no. Well, I guess you could play the. Yeah, that would be.
No, we won't. We won't jump up. We could jump. Well, right. We would have to. No, we can't. It's impossible. We can't jump down.
You can't slide down.
No, because the Giants and the Commanders are both 7-5-1 right now.
Mm.
So.
All right. I'll take the over. I think you beat the Bucks. I'm going to take you over. Only because it's the Bucks, but I'm not going to be rooting for you to beat the Bucks. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a better game than you want it to be. That's for sure. I think you're going to be stressed out about it. All right. Now, last over under. How many more interception balls does Tom Brady have to sign in his career? How many more players are going to do this? So, A, how many more interceptions is he going to throw? Which is, if he doesn't play next year, probably not that many more. If he does play next year, still probably not a lot of them. So, how many more picked off balls is Tom Brady going to have to sign for some other player? I'm going to put the over-under at 1.5.
I'm going to take the under.
Really? All right.
I think he takes the under.
Do you think he's going to have to sign at least one more, though? Do you think one more DB is going to be like, yeah, Tom Brady, sign my ball? Is this going to be a trend?
I don't think it's a trend. I think this might be a done thing.
You think it's going to be one and done? I don't know, man. I could see this trending super, not hard, because he's not going to throw a lot more picks. Also, it's going to motivate him to throw less interceptions, too, if guys keep running up him, asking him to sign the ball.
Sign this.
It's so funny. So there's only going to be, so theoretically, there's only going to be, according to you guys, there'll be one signed Tom Brady interception ball. Unless he's done this for like some of his
other. At most.
There might be teammates of his that he'll sign at some point, you know, like guys who he played with who also picked him up. Guys like Rodney Harrison. I bet Rodney picked him off once upon a time back in the day. I bet he would sign a Rodney Harrison interception ball. I wonder if that's going to be a trend, though, going forward. All right, a couple injuries we'll talk about. We talked about Jalen Hurts, questionable. That's a problem because Jalen Hurts is, if you had a team like my team, which should be still in the playoffs but isn't in the fantasy playoffs, I'd be very concerned about Jalen Hurts. You better have a backup ready in mind if you are keeping going, plan on moving forward in your fantasy league playoffs, because if Jalen Hurts isn't playing, he's been a big part of your team. Jonathan Taylor, out, done for the season. Kyler Murray, out. Tannehill is hurt but probable, they say. Lamar Jackson is a maybe. They aren't even releasing too much information about Lamar Jackson. That's a big deal if you got him and you're still in fantasy playoffs. Chase Claypool, they say, is trending in the right direction. He's an interesting play, especially depending on who plays quarterback, ends up playing for the quarterback for the Bears. Fields, I think, is probably going to play, they said, though. Khalil Herbert, another guy who is likely to play for the Bears. And that actually hurts David Montgomery. If you've had David Montgomery the last few weeks, you've been doing really well with him in fantasy. Khalil Herbert coming back actually will hurt your fantasy team for sure. All right. So in worst quarterback of the week, I'd rather have Kaepernick than Lonnie. First, we'll start with Lonnie. Lonnie, you picked Davis Mills. Davis Mills was announced as the starter. And then the first series, they put in Kyle Allen for some. Jeff Driskel. For like a series. They've been flip-flopping back and forth between these two guys. They're using both of them. They're playing like a college system. It's ridiculous. You get a disqualification for that.
Well, it doesn't matter because Davis Mills scored 20 points anyway.
Yeah, well, it matters because I have Baker Mayfield still, so it might matter. Baker could still score over 20 points tonight. Vital, you got Desmond Ridder, 3.68. Nice job picking the rookie. Good play on your part. I got Baker Mayfield tonight. Could he get negative points? Sure. Baker's capable. He's more than capable of scoring negative points. I could still pull this thing out, but right now it's not looking great for me. So we cannot pick our quarterbacks until after tonight's game. We'll do that tomorrow via text. What we need for tonight's game in fantasy, though, I've got a bye in my one league that I'm still in. So I'm out of this week. I don't have anything until next week. Lonnie, what do you need to win tonight in your playoff matchup? Number one
Tyler Higbee. I need 4.1 points from you, dude. It's like a catch or two for 20 yards. Just give me the fuck. Just please. Two. for 21. That's all I need. Two for 21.
It's going to be so interesting. All right, Vital. And Vital, yours is just as close.
Yeah, I'm done scoring, but I need who are the players?
Who are you playing against?
AJ Dillon, I think, and yeah, Alan Lazard. Not you guys can score, just don't score any more than 20. You know,
it's 23, isn't it? 20? Is it 20 or 23? I thought you were down by 23.
23. Okay. He wins.
AJ Dillon and Alan Lazard to score less than 23 points. Mm-hmm. Also, very dicey. This I feel like both of these are going to come.
But it's also super possible too.
It's like that's what I mean. Like these are so close. These are both very, very close. All right,
trusty.
I'm going to be on the edge of my seat.
All Jonathan Taylor had to do was like run one more play. I feel a little more comfortable about this. Come on, bro. He's in for one play.
This is how I felt last week when Ramondre went out with 3 points.
But he balled out this week.
I know he balled out this week. Yeah, don't tell me how. I know how my team did this week. I know I'd be fighting the championship.
Oh yeah, it's disgusting. I looked at your team like, wow.
My team is ridiculous, dude. The fact that I didn't get a first round bye. I shouldn't have even been in the fucking first round. I shouldn't, dude. I had the highest scoring team. I should have had a first round bye.
Nah, it doesn't work that way.
I know it doesn't work. You don't have to tell me. I know. All right. Okay. It's all right. I got another team. I'm still in it in one league. We'll find out what happens next week for that. So DraftKings. So I'm going to be on the edge of my seat in this shitty fucking game that nobody cares about. I'm going to be on the edge of my, because not just your guys' matchups, two other matchups in our fantasy league, I think, are also coming down to the wire. Or one other matchup, the Terry Wayne and Casey Peruski's matchup is coming right down the wire. So lot to watch in that. So as far as DraftKings goes, who did you guys pick for your DraftKings captains tonight? Let me guess. Tyler Higbee? Did you pick Higbee?
Okay, I should have.
Yeah, you should have. Yeah, the vote of confidence. He would be doing it for you.
Fucking son of a bitch.
I went with Aaron Jones for me.
I also went with Aaron Jones.
I also have Aaron Jones.
All three of us are on Aaron Jones. Okay, so it's going to be the other guys, not Sammy Watkins. So pull him out of your lineup if you had him in there. He got cut before the game, which seems like a weird move for the Packers. Like, they've been thin at receiver, but I guess they're feeling good about their receiving core. So, okay, you guys got any comedy shows coming up? Any holiday stuff this weekend? Anything going on? No?
Not yet.
No.
Okay. I got a show on Friday at the Brewhouse Gallery. Daniel Farrer's room up there is new monthly show. He's been doing it for like 6 months or something. It's supposed to be a really fun show, brewery show on Friday night. So that should be really fun. You guys doing anything to celebrate? We got football all weekend. Saturday is the Sunday slate this week. The Thursday game is actually really good. Who's the Thursday game?
I think it's Dallas, Tennessee.
No.
Does that sound right?
I don't think so. I want to say it was the Jets or the Chargers or some.
Dallas, Tennessee is next week.
The Thursday game is really interesting. I remember being like, oh,
it's Jaguars, Jets.
Jaguars, Jets. That is almost going to have like a playoff feel to it, because the winner of that game, very good chance to make the playoffs. Loser of that game, very bad chance. They're almost going to be. May as well be an elimination game for both of those teams. So that's going to be a good one. Some fantasy value in that game too. And then so Saturday is like the Sunday slate of games. And then Sunday, Christmas Day, we only get 3 games. So it's like the kind of like Saturday was this week. And they're 3 kind of shitty games. I think one of them might be interesting. I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah, Packers, Dolphins, Broncos, Rams.
Packers, Dolphins. That's going to be interesting.
Bucks, Cardinals. Yeah, Saturday are the good games.
Yeah, we'll be watching for fantasy maybe a little bit in those games, but that's about it. All right, cool. Guys doing anything family, holiday? Happy Hanukkah, by the way, Lonnie. Is today the first day of Hanukkah?
Today is the second night of
Hanukkah. Second night, happy second
Hanukkah,
night.
Hanukkah, dude.
Happy Hanukkah. Are you going to light a menorah on stage this year at any point?
Oh, right. That's so funny.
I forgot. That is PTSD, right?
That's so funny, dude. I forgot about that. That was hilarious. Right? That was great.
Oh, dude, send me the video. I'm going to put a clip of it on one of our clips.
I've got it somewhere. I'd have to dig for it, but I think I have it somewhere.
If I don't see you guys before then, happy holidays. Enjoy the football. I'll talk to you soon.
All righty.
All right. Talk to you soon.